You thought that was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
K-U-P-D.
Good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to Thursday. It's 5:45. My name's John Holmberg. Brady Bogan in the bunker. We got Creepy E and Big Dick Toledo ready to go for yet another glorious day here in lockdown. USA, and the numbers just came out. 6.7 million people filed for unemployment.
That's a tiny little number.
That's a good chunk. But it's, you know, it's a little misleading because there'll be jobs if this ever ends for most of them because it's still okay. It just can't go on much longer. But it begs the question.
A lot of furloughs.
Yeah, begs the question. Yeah, the furloughs. It's a lot of companies doing the right thing, saying, hey, we'll let you back, but go get your unemployment. You're fired. I know a company that did that to about 30 people. It's like, we're firing you. So you guys can go get all your full benefits because we can't pay you anymore. That's it. So
right.
Go
I mean, they're only getting a percentage of what their check was, but it's better than nothing, right?
And that's the thing. Their company's like, we can't do it and stay a company. If you want a job when you come back, you know, the list is all you guys did. So there is some of that that's like, but still nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to deal with DES or, I mean, maybe Katero. He loved it over there. But nobody wants to deal with DES or the lines or the, you know, getting your check at a third or whatever it is. It sucks. But... you know, a lot of companies.
Are they really lining up for that stuff right now?
I don't know how they do it. I guess it's probably all digital now, but there's got to be some sort of interaction face-to-face at some point to say, here's my papers, file these. I mean, all of it online doesn't make – like the government doesn't do anything good online.
Some restaurants, if you go get takeout because you could still do that, you know, they were doing the caution tape on the floors to make people stand
the distance.
Yeah, 6 feet apart. Yeah.
Which I like. I like that everybody's doing the whole, hey, limit all exposure to everything. Be overly precautious. Yesterday, I had, because I got that drywall termite thing, and so my pest control guy, Jeremy, came, Hunter, and they were incredibly good because he's like, we don't do indoor anymore for people. That's our basic deal. And then Jeremy said, can I get a picture with you stabbing our service guy in the backyard with one of your pool cues and staying 6 feet away? And I'm like, no. I don't really want to make like light of the whole thing or have fun with the idea that there's people around.
Good move, John.
And I'm like,
shut him down.
I said, he can stay outside and I can stay inside. I like Kyle. He's a nice guy. They do a great job. But I mean, I just don't want to make it like, you know, hey, everybody, we're having a great time at my house. Look, we've got pool. And it just sends a bad message perceptually to some people like, oh, I thought you weren't having it, you know.
So, I wouldn't even open my – he came to my house yesterday, too. I wouldn't even open my screen door.
Yeah.
I just kind of slid the check through
That's
there.
That's it. I told him I'd Apple Pay him. And I also – I let him in the part of the house to do the thing. I'm like, it's through that door. Right? And I sprayed him with Lysol at the door. It was hilarious. They came up to the door, and I'm like, sorry, guys. I answered the door.
Dirty-ass pest
so,
guys.
So, yeah, you filthy pigs. You've been in like – you've been to Vesely's house, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Who knows
true.
What the hell's gone on your body? Bunch of Italian
probably
COVID.
Drinking Sambuca together.
You got the COVID-y. Oh, it's the Italian one. Go. Not only does it kill you, it annoys you the entire time.
Sorry about that.
He's Brad. Got that girl bartender living with him.
Yeah.
Is she just mixing drinks for you or what's happening at home? Great.
That's got to be a good thing.
That's a bonus.
That's what Megan's doing that.
Is she?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's not a professional bartender, though. I mean.
Be honest with you. It's the internet's changed that game completely.
They've been posting more things for people at home.
But loads of drinks. Now, she's not as fast as
Yeah, I mean, I've
Medea,
tried at home to, you know, you make the stuff with the blue carousel and all that, and it never kind
of
turns
out. Well,
I
used to be a bartender, so I've got a lot of drinks under my belt, but I'm slow. Like, that's what you don't realize. Bartender's deal is speed. They can make those drinks at the still have to go, wait a minute, three parts, this, one, and so
what's a part?
Yeah, well, it's a jigger. Careful. But if you've got a jigger at home, you can make any drink you want. But the internet's changed the game on bartending, so we can mix pretty much anything. But yeah, it's just, you know, I admire the idea of people doing it the right way and getting everything done. But you still have to do some stuff, and it's weird, like, because Jeremy had to be in my game room bathroom. And I swear to God, it was hazmat central after he left. I had gloves on. I went in. I wiped walls with Clorox. I sprayed. I hosed. And, you know, there was no interaction. I'm like, this is a nut house. This can't be normal. This is not a world I really think I want to be part of.
Are we all turning into germaphobes?
It isn't a germaphobe thing. It's a safety measure. You
like
know?
After this, like will we all continue to be
probably
weird
a little
like that?
Oh, for a while? I think for a good while. The only thing that I think will change mentally with people is they're going to be weirder about like Lysols and hand sanitizers and things like that. We're all going to be nutty about that. That product is going to go
especially
gangbusters.
During cold and flu season.
Oh, forget it. It's going to go nuts. Yeah, once it starts cooling down again, people are going to be the no-touchy people and a lot of that. But again, after yesterday, it started to drill into my head. We can't do this much longer. Eventually, we just have to be. And, I can scrub up my house and stuff, but I can't scrub up the cart at Safeway the way I did that bathroom after Jeremy left. And I can't do this everywhere I go. And eventually, the numbers flatten out, do whatever they do. We just have to go back into the soup. We have to go do stuff again and brave this. You can't have numbers where 7 million people are firmly out of work, as misleading as that is and as scary as it's going to sound. When they say 6.6 something million people are filing for unemployment, and that's just the ones who filed, and then you got more coming, and you can get up to like 15-20% unemployment in the country. That's scary, especially if it becomes permanent. And the longer we do this, the more permanent
will
that gets.
Massive events take a hit, though. Like,
yeah, that's
will you want to go to a concert, but, like all jammed in there on the floor?
We said that after the shootings at of Dimebag,
Vegas,
and
sure.
then the Vegas one, and then Ariana Grande. Nothing changed. They put up metal detectors. So
if they let us loose, we'll just go right back to it immediately.
Again, I go back to what I say. We're greedy, and we want everyone to do everything for us, and we'll pop back in there so long as the demand is there. The companies will be like, hey, they're willing to do it. Charge them, and they'll go. And they don't seem – all we have to do is put precautions up as a liability and say, we offered you the hand sanitizer. We offered you – it was for everybody. We had tons of it. So the prices of our tickets will go up because they have to have – 7 billion little stations for you to wash your hands now. And so long as we keep showing up, they'll shrug their shoulders and go, they're not scared. Charge them. And that's essentially,
So you'll go back to the way it was?
I hated
personally?
It before. That's I hated true. Concerts
Brady,
before.
Brady, will you go back to hugging the hot chicks and, all the fist bumps and hanging out?
Sure.
You seem a little,
yeah, what's the matter?
like you're thinking about it?
All right.
Yeah, I definitely have to reevaluate a little bit.
Yeah, I never liked crowds. I never liked being in that stuff anyway. Not because of germs, just because I don't like it. It just makes me uncomfortable. So, tack this onto it, and it's like, is that any fun at all?
But if Brady's got a hot girl in front of him with the sniffles, you gonna go in there for the hug?
You're gonna still hit it?
I didn't do that.
Well, you were stopping because of the Me Too, so they were slowing you
down.
Yeah,
but anyone, that's true. I've always been. Gun shy of someone that's been sniffling or coughing or hacking.
Unless she's really hot.
Yeah, she's
still going to hug that hello. But yeah, it's going to change some stuff, but I don't think too much.
I mean, some of those pictures with Christy, she was trying to get away.
She literally looks like somebody with sideways scoliosis in a few photos, and you were holding on.
That was part of my core training.
Yeah. Looked like you were riding a kite there a couple of times. She was flit around so hard. You had it.
She was leaning towards Flip Orly and away from.
You know those cartoons when a guy swallowed a bunch of metal and then they walked by a magnet and it went and their bodies contorted in towards it? That's what Christy looks like every time Brady puts his hand around her waist, which is always. It's a strange thought. But, we're going to get to that point a couple weeks from now where everybody looks around going, this is a bit. I never understood the baby bathwater. Well, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Like, what the hell are you talking about, Grandma? Well, you got to keep the baby with the bathwater. I don't understand any of what that means. Now I get it. Like, the bathwater and the baby. The baby's the important part. The bathwater's dirty. You got to take one out and, you can't.
That's what that means?
I guess. It just basically means I use the theory you can't blow up the whole city to save the princess. Because I use like a more modern Marvel movie thing.
Okay.
Because if you're saving the princess, and I never understood the Marvel movies because they'll blow up and kill millions. They never talk about to save
one.
They were
saving the world.
They say they're saving the world, but the newer ones do. I haven't seen the newer ones, to be fair, but like the old superhero
the princess
movies.
Stuff, you're probably like in the 80s. It got real big on always saving the chick.
And then
Donkey Kong.
The Batman thing when, it's Bane and they blew up all the city. And then you go back to Godzilla in order
the
to
Avengers.
Kill. You kill one Godzilla and they blew up all of Manhattan and the Pan Am building and all that. And I'm like, and you're doing more damage to kill one thing. So what do we do? When do you start weighing that? So, I don't think blowing up the entire town to save one princess is going to resonate with people once the job thing becomes more important. Once people are like, hey, I'm out of work, and I'm not sick, and this isn't my fault. I'm going back in, And eventually we have to just brave it. And hopefully the numbers start to slink the opposite direction. But you're going to see there was a dude yesterday who tried to run a train into the U.S. Mercy naval ship. He's tired of it. He says he doesn't believe that ship's there for the reasons they're saying. He wants people to wake up. So he steered a train he's responsible for off the tracks. And by the way, you'd think that would be kind of he got close. He was like 200 feet away. The train kept going. And I'm like, how in the world do you steer a train? I didn't even know. Why does a train have a steering wheel? How do you steer a train?
How can you get it off the track?
You've got to jump it or something. Why does it have a little wheel?
His plan was a little
he's insane.
Was missing a few things.
But this is what we're going to run into. You're going to start seeing people who are like, hey, baby bathwater.
Crazy people.
What are we doing? You can't. And is he crazy? I mean, he's crazy because he thinks the boat's there because of a government takeover. But that's maybe what they're painting him to be, because I never really necessarily buy when they immediately paint someone crazy. Like, they found him, and an hour later, they had a story on the dude. And I'm like, okay. You know, he's a sovereign citizen who believes that. And I'm like, okay, you guys painted him crazy because he might have a point, so never, ever let him talk. You tell us what he said.
If they're taking over anything with that medical ship.
Yeah, I don't get that.
But that's my point.
I don't necessarily believe the guy ever said out loud, they're taking over. And this is, I'm like, you painted him crazy because you don't want people to believe that a guy who has access to a train might have had a point. So they immediately tell you the crazy story. We dismiss him as nuts. It's a one-off. It won't happen again. And we move on. So it's, to me, those are always easy distractions. Whenever they did that to those guys at Ruby Ridge, who were a little off but weren't doing anything wrong until they got, you know.
If they start pulling in, you know, fleets of battleships and stuff, then you might have something.
Right.
Oh, we're just going to put the sick on these.
Yeah, but then we'll all be like, oh, they're taking over. But if one guy pulls a train off, and granted, he's nuts. The designer of the train is nuts for that. And the steering wheel goes here. For what?
Hey, we learn something new every day, man.
I guess you can steer a train into a boat. I didn't know that. I've only thought that was capable of happening.
It had to have been like a sharp turn or something that if he took it too fast, it would derail and go towards that. Yeah, that is weird.
Don't you remember Silver Streak?
Yeah, you just go faster through the turn. That's about it. But, boy, he'd had to have known that. So, I don't know, painting him immediately as, well, he's a rogue, one-off, crazy person who said this, this, and this, and thinks it went, ha, 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 laugh it off. I'm like, I don't necessarily always laugh that off. He is crazy, but, you know, you guys had a story on him awfully fast, and that always raises my eyebrows. But, yeah, eventually, we're gonna have to start sitting there thinking, people can't be out of work. The economy can't crash because, you know, and we're going to have to brave it. We lost more people at D-Day than we did in Vietnam, and that was heroic and saving the country and everything else. You can't have this go on much longer, and I'm not for it. I'm not for this. I'll do anything it takes to make sure we're going down the right path to get rid of this thing and as few lives are lost as possible, but I'm also not going to be on board crippling everything to save a few people. That sounds horrible,
but
it's
true. News is that it's the third highest cause of death in the U.S.
Right now?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's not good. There's no doubt it's you know, it's horrible. But at a certain point, when the recovery rate's in the 90%, you got to get back out there. And that sounds awful, but the susceptible will fall if we can't cure it. If we can't do anything about it, we got to get back out there anyway. And, you know, so the week go. And I could be one of them. I don't know. But it's, you know, it's, you get to that point where you're like, you got to shrug your shoulders and say, we can't do this. We can't harm the masses to save the few. You just can't. And I'm not saying
you'll have a bigger problem on your hands.
Huge. I'm not saying we're there yet. I don't even think we're close. And we still have to take the precautions at this point. But we're a couple weeks away before people start saying you start seeing numbers like this where 7 million people are filing for unemployment and that number is just going to go up. You're like, man, we're not going to do this anymore. And 7 million are unemployed and it looks like we're going to just keep this alive till June. That means those jobs don't come back. That's a bigger problem.
Well, the plan is not to keep it going till June.
I know. But if in fact, I mean, think about it. If the numbers come out in the middle of April and like we're worse than we were 2 weeks ago and we still have to wait, people are going to sit back and go, how much longer?
Right.
Because these jobs don't come back if the companies go away, and we're saving the companies right now. So it's that daunting, weird thing. There's this big thing I got to talk about tonight. Everybody in the city's doing it, and we're no different. The broadcasters, Arizona broadcasters, I don't know what they're like. The
association.
Yeah, the association. I don't know. I've done this for 22 years. I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah, we're a team,
yeah,
John.
I didn't know that there was a broadcaster, so I thought we all hated each other. In fact, I was
usually
on the forefront of that.
Not today.
No, all the stations, television, and radio will hold a virtual town hall meeting. This could be interesting. Governor Ducey will be there. Kara Christ, who I think is absolutely awesome at relaying information, she's been a great. There's a Major General Michael McGuire from the National Guard will be there because, you know, he's taken over. And then the National Guard will be the guys that take over. Who saw that coming? But they're basically going to do a town hall where you can have virtual questions and stuff. All of the – I mean, there isn't a station in town that's off board.
So we're broadcasting this on here?
6 o'clock tonight, I
on
believe
the big
it starts.
Red radio.
Yeah, we've got it, and I think 60 other places are doing it too. So it's just going to be – and good.
Pretty much across the board.
Good, because if you can't escape it, maybe you'll watch it, maybe you'll learn something, and maybe you'll be a little less selfish, because that's all we're looking for right now is people not to be selfish and not to do dumb stuff and, you know – like Eric said, his wife was feeling guilty about the kid not going out and playing with other kids. I'm sure that's a weight on people's shoulders to look at your kid and go, why is my kid have to act grounded? She's done nothing wrong. And it's for the same reason you're acting grounded, because you've done nothing wrong. You're trying to make sure that everybody stays safe.
Got to shut it down like Gordon Ramsay.
You got to shut it down. And there's no playing, and there's sad eyes in your house. And sometimes you have to sit and go, sorry, kid, this is the way the world
works.
You
know how kids are. They try to manipulate you.
Oh, yeah.
Start doing the baby talk.
Yep.
I just want to go outside.
We can't get it if we don't touch each other.
I'll stay 6 feet apart.
She's right.
I don't trust you, little
you're
demon.
Filthy. And plus your hands are coated in boogers and butthole juice. You guys are gross. The mind doesn't stop fully developing until you're 20. And you at 8 are trying to be logical? And like, no.
I know. As soon as you're going to get out of sight, then you'll be.
You're going to touch them. You're going to forget. You're going to have fun and forget. It's like when dogs, like you have a can in the backyard, like, don't you touch that can. And they run by the can like 9 times, like, there's that can. By the 9th time, like, I'm getting the can. They forget. They're having fun. They'll grab a ball. They'll play ball. You can't. Your kids and their doe eyed faces and their booger hands and butthole hands have to be disappointed. Look, this is a life lesson. Sometimes this miserable existence from birth to death kicks you square in your prepubescent nuts, kid, and you can't go outside and play with your kid, your friends. Sorry, it's just the way it is. It's just faster to mommy and daddy having more stuff to buy you for Christmas. The better you are here, the more money mom and dad will have come November to buy you crap for Christmas.
She gets me with the doe eyes for a few seconds, and then I go, now, when I was that age, would I let myself go out there?
Right.
What would I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I would not listen. I would not do the 6 feet apart. I would just go out and.
And
it's they're trying to manipulate you.
She's still a woman.
Oh, yeah.
And when women use doe eyes, it's for bad reason. They never use it because they really mean, like, I'm sad. No, they need something. You provide that something to them, and they will pull out all the stops to get that thing from you. Usually it's money.
Usually.
But when a kid's currency is playtime and doing what they want and freedom. And so when they doe eye you, you just say no. Yeah. There's no. And plus, you don't know what those other dirty butthole fingered booger hand kids are up to.
So I told my wife.
Yeah.
You trust the neighbor kids?
Right. That's who you have to trust. You don't.
Come on.
And that's what you have to ask
yourself.
Barely
trust my kid.
If your neighbor kid came over with doe eyes and said, can I play? You'd be like, get the f- off my porch, you booger handed butthole kid. You don't have doe eye susceptibility with other kids, just your own. And I get it. But think of it. If this wasn't my kid, would I care about this? Or would I think this dirty, filthy little prick's going to get my kid sick? That's all you got to think about. Period. So be good. Be smart. I would put an expiration date of about 14 more days on this. And if the numbers aren't better in 14 days, or there's no, like, because the numbers are going
to
be ugly.
Well, they're not supposed to be.
Well, the death numbers and the sick numbers.
I'm still trying to figure out how we get to 100 to 200,000.
Well, because all the people that are sick are going to die, evidently. But what we have to look for is new cases coming into the hospital. What everybody's focused on are death numbers and current tests. New people walking into the hospital and getting it. New cases have to be down in the next 14 days, or you're going to see a bunch of people sitting there going, I'm done with this. I'm fine. And it's going to start getting divided. It's inevitable. People get scared. You're not going to leverage your future to save someone else. It's never been the case.
It's selfish and weird,
but it's the way we're going to be. And brace yourself for that as well. Everybody keeps bracing for these numbers. Brace yourself for when people get tired of this, and rightfully so. And that's right around the corner.
There's a bus driver that got it yesterday.
Yeah.
We were just talking to Weak Squirrel.
Weak Squirrel's a bus driver. And his kind of joke with us was, hey, they put some caution tape around the first few rows and me, and people walk by, but I'm trapped on a bus with the filthy unwashed of Phoenix.
Now think about the bus driver driving around town. How many people has he infected?
Right. Now, he's constantly got it. I mean, the bus has it whenever he's on it, so all those dirty people have it. They're
touch
not,
one railing.
They're riding the bus. They're not exactly Purelling all day long. They go out, disperse this thing all over the place. Ugh. I mean, it's a real easy system to say, I'm not doing this anymore.
Right, unless you could get the, you know, even the, you know, it's tough because the grocery store run, the stuff that they're still on the list of essential, it doesn't prevent the spread 100% by no means.
I think that people are too dumb to understand that essential doesn't mean you go there all the time. I think because I saw when we were at the Safeway, my first trip to the Safeway in 3 weeks, I was there and Megan said that lady was at Fry's last week and another cart full of things. And I'm like, hmm. And so she's traveling from like she's out all the time because it's essential. It's OK. And I think it's that dumb mentality of the guy I saw in the news that says you can't catch it outside. I think when they say it's essential, the dumb people think, oh, I can't catch it in the grocery store because that's why it's open. So I can't do that here. I think dumb people are taking essential to the level of I'll just go to the grocery store anytime I want to instead of saying it's essential once a week.
But they also, when you have that essential list, you know, that lady at Fry's last week decided, oh, maybe I'll check Fry's to see if they have that and they don't.
There's plenty
of people that you hear that have done – you know, the multiple stores looking for.
Because we're out of toilet paper.
Right. I would believe that if, in fact, her cart wasn't packed full, brimming over the top.
Right.
She had 4 weeks of groceries in there.
Well, I'm going to have a problem when I run out of toilet paper because I'm going to have to look for it.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. You do have to go, but essential means limit it to
as few things as you need
at once, once a week, you know, at most. At most, once a week, if you can make it so you don't have to. But don't hoard, but. Again, don't go there every day because you're like, oh, wait, you know, I'm going to go grab some shoelaces. Oh, I need batteries. You just – it's not that. That's not what it means.
Shoelaces aren't important, John?
No, they're really not. Just put on another pair of shoes. Take some out of another pair. If you've only got one pair of shoes, you had a bigger problem way before this virus ever.
I don't think I've ever gone out for shoelaces.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Dummies will be like, I'll go do something stupid because it's essential. It's open. And that's people who don't like being in their house. So they're just trying to find a reason to go to the one place that's open and be there over and over.
I will – punch somebody if they're out just to
if there's a dude in the 10 or less aisle, he's who I'm talking about. If 10 or less aisle guy's there, I'm like, this couldn't have waited until you needed one big run.
I need Rick and Morty socks.
Right. Yeah. Jeremy. I just thought I'd come by and get some gum. So 6-pack of beer. I'm like, this couldn't have waited till your 1 weekly trip. You can't just think crazy and be crazy for a couple weeks. And hopefully it'll help. If it doesn't, I'm with everybody. Let's get back in it. Because if it's not helping, in the next 2 weeks, we don't see significant differences in new cases. We can't throw it all away. And I'm not encouraging that. I'm just saying I think that's how society's going to act. But, yeah, if you're jumping in your car to just pop over to the store to grab a couple things, you're the asshole. Make it a shopping trip, and that's it, your weekly trip. You don't need to be there more than once a week. You don't. And I don't care if – the precious angel with the doe eyes said, I need some of those dinosaur gummies to make my Lunchable better. And she's going to oh, get you your gummies because I can't say no.
Anything for my little angel.
Yeah, always look down at your kid and say, if this was the neighbor kid, would I be making this happen? And the answer is always no. You have to treat your kid like the neighbor kid. You love it just as much as the neighbor kid. And be honest with you, maybe your kid's too weak and might not make it anyway. Might be time to start emotionally separating from the kid just in case it drops. In fact, I'm emotionally separating from just about everybody because I don't know if they're susceptible. If they catch it, I don't want to be caught off guard. I'm preparing myself for everyone I like to die.
Well, we don't have to worry about Larry anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. He might be coming in today from what I was texting with him last. He's a little sketchy right now. He's feeling.
What's going on with Larry?
Hey, look, Larry's not unusual, although Larry's unusual. He was just like, you know what? I'm no longer comfortable being in the building. In case I've got something or picked something up, I can't be the guy that brings it in. And I don't want to be – and he trusts us all. But
they're dropping like flies in this building.
Yeah, you can't have – like Jeremy.
Who's next?
Jeremy looks dirty. So Jeremy
– he does look dirty. I think Tripp should send him
home. He's very clean, but he looks filthy and gross. And if I was – you know, Larry had to deal with Jeremy an awful lot. And I was like, I don't
want
to –
And that Rick and Morty Sox thing is a very real situation.
An incredibly real situation.
The guy went to a carnival at a strip mall right after he got out of the hospital.
Yeah. Like what? A Food City Carnival.
Yeah, like 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
What does that tell you?
He should have been lit on fire in a public square. We should have lit Jeremy on fire. But if I'm Larry and I got to see as many people again, he's nervous about it. He's got elderly parents.
Sure.
And, you know, their health is compromised, and he can't see them right now. But he's thinking, man, if something were to go wrong, and I did, do I want to be the guy that's been kind of, you know, jumping all over the city? No. So he's
I think everybody's got someone at their office that you're looking a little cross-eyed at. You're like,
yeah, well, that guy shouldn't be here. He's filthy.
Yeah. I don't trust him.
If I didn't know Jeremy, I wouldn't be coming to work. I know Jeremy, and I know Jeremy's actually very clean.
Really?
Yeah,
have you been to his house?
No, I would never go to his house. That neighborhood, for God's sakes, no. But Jeremy is an individual.
He could be a hoarder. You don't know.
A clean guy. His house might suck, but he's pretty clean. I've seen photos. He sent me things of things that have happened in his house. His house looks nice. But,
he was driving for Uber or whatever, and he gave me a ride one time. I think his car was a little...
Is it gross?
Well, yeah. Well,
that's just money. That's a money problem.
Oh.
Just a bad car. What are you going to do? It was that cheap Uber, too. That's kind of your fault. You got the $7 ride instead of the $14 ride, which people actually have some pride in their car. So that's kind of
I was trying to help a buddy out, you know, get him a few bucks, give him an extra tip.
That's not
my
job.
There was XL, there's regular Uber, and there was old Jer.
Yeah, old Jer's.
He's at the bottom of the list.
Yeah, it actually hangs off the side of your phone like a tab for a new guitarist, and I'll do this one. So, yeah. But Jeremy's actually pretty clean. But if I didn't know him, I would judge him completely. And again, this goes back to me being right the entire time. Always judge people by the way they look. And that's what we have to do now. But if it all comes down to it, you know, we're not going to – the youth – you know, they already call it the boomer remover. There's a generation completely unafraid of this and another one willing to go, I'm not going to leverage all my retirement in my mid-40s and 50s to try to figure. So we're getting to that, you know – this better work kind of thing. If it doesn't, I think we're all just going to brave it. And that's unfortunate because it ain't going to be a good ending. But there is a certain aspect of, hey, if it gets us, it gets us too. It's spooky times. But yeah, tonight that's what you guys can sit and talk to Governor Ducey about. And Kara Crist, who has seemingly actually on point every time she's asked a question. She's fantastic at what she's done. I've watched a lot of those local briefings.
And I
she's
think it's
amazing.
Set up. Though you have to, you know, you submit your question.
Right.
And then they take the questions down the line. So it's not like a...
Yeah, you're not going to escape it.
...interaction. Yeah. Hopefully your question gets picked.
Right. But, and that's fine. It, you know, and there'll be a lot of the same questions. So they're gonna break down, you know, different types of angles. But, yeah, you can submit questions. Just, you can't escape this thing. It's going to be everywhere. So if you just go to a website and you want to check it out at 6 o'clock tonight, it'll be everywhere.
Can we make some change tonight like you were talking about yesterday, John? Can we... If we participate in this, are we going to...
I'm not. That's not what I was saying. I'm not saying change. I'm saying you give up your power by saying everybody else do it.
Well, if I participate in this...
Yeah, you keep placing it on me like I'm doing it. I'm not. I was telling you I'm just as lazy
as you
are.
This is an opportunity. Yeah. You can go to one of the meetings.
Look, you want to get back into yesterday. The basic bones of
No, I'm just...
Yeah, we're to blame for a good lot of the things we lash out at the government for.
Sure.
Government student loans...
Yeah, we took the loan.
You didn't do your due diligence. Your house thing back in 2007, there was predator prey, but you were pretty willing prey. So there's a lot of things that we sit back and go, it's everybody's fault but our own. We have to sit and take some responsibility. I'm hoping that changes through this COVID thing, that we all sit back and say, it's our responsibility as much as anybody else. That's why I love that doctor in the national briefings, always saying, it's your behavior, guys. Sit and tell me all you want. What I can do, it's your behavior. This is on you. And the faster we wrap our heads around the fact that that's true in everything, the faster we get a lot more done.
I am curious.
Even the handing out the food stuff, the free meals and stuff, there are people that have, you know, they're stockpiled at home, but they'll still go to the food bank because they get a free meal there.
Right.
And they try to advise people, hey, if you don't need it, this is for people that don't have food. But there are people that will manipulate the situation and the whole regulations.
Yeah. Oh, you're always going to have that.
And, you know, plenty of people that are, you know, I've heard the side of it that, oh, well, if the mortgage companies are going to forgive us, does that mean don't pay my bill this month?
I just talked about that with a friend of mine who's got tons of money. He's like, I just won't pay it. They're going to forgive it anyway. And I'm like, no, be responsible. You signed up. You said you can do it and be part of the solutions. You know, don't be the guy that takes. Be the guy that makes it right.
The more you can keep into circulation,
right?
And the better it helps.
It gets into that, well, if he doesn't have to pay, I shouldn't have to pay. And that's when we get into those big, giant messes where, you know, look, greedy companies are going to be greedy for one reason. We're demanding it. And if we're sucking up greed, they're going to be greedy. So it's just as much on us as anybody else. And you can get screwed, but a lot of the times if you look back and said, if I'd have only blah, 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 and be honest with yourself, you wouldn't have been. So this is a nice way for all of us to take advantage of the self-responsibility thing that we all scoff at because it's impossible. But, yeah, I don't know. We're in a weird kind of transitional phase now that everybody's kind of doing the thing. It's like, all right, well, I'm not going to lose my ass over this, by the way. That's the one caveat. There's a little star next to participate. Do your part. Don't let your kids play. Don't go outside. There's a little tiny asterisk next to that and say, you do know I'm not going to lose my ass over this, right? There's going to be that breaking point. And I'm not saying it's close, but I'm saying it's out there. It's definitely the sun is creeping over the horizon a little bit.
That's the busy time for all the companies right now. It's just meeting and saying, all right, we got to take a look. Whatever department you're running, tell me what needs to be furloughed.
Yeah, you think the word essential isn't just the grocery store. It's happening in every business meeting with every boss. What's essential? What can we do without through this? And there's an awful lot. So nobody wants to lose their ass over this thing. And it's staring at all of us. All of us. There's nobody susceptible. We're all sitting there looking like, all right, is it me? Could be. But I don't think anybody's going to want to lose their ass over it. I'm not willing to do that. I don't know if individually somebody said, John, if you didn't take your job, it would save lives. I'm like, huh. Well,
and that's
what about
part
me?
About,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a greater good type when it comes to me being the sufferer. I don't know if I could do that. It's 617.
And that's the tough part, saying just the mortgage thing. Like, if you I'll make my mortgage payment. But the other side of it is 30 to 60 days. What if you made your mortgage payment and all of a sudden you're furloughed? You could have, that money now could have come. You just don't know.
Well, so Brady really doesn't want to pay his mortgage.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been thinking.
You've been looking into this.
Nope, already pulled out of the account.
Yeah, I would say if you could. If you have the ability, you have a job right now, you think look okay, I'd go ahead and just
pay your bills.
Yeah,
pay your goddamn bills.
Yeah. Yeah. Lisa had that conversation with her yesterday because she has a student loan.
Right.
She's like, well, it's 0% interest and I don't have to pay it right now. Right. I guess 90 days or something. And I'm like,
pay your bill.
Just pay it.
Pay it.
I mean, why? Yeah. You need to get it down anyway, right?
Yeah. It's a good opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they will someday forgive it, but it's not up to you, and you're going to get yourself in a bigger jam going, well, I'll just skip one.
Yeah.
They're not forgiving with that kind of stuff, clearly.
After the 90 days is up, you just have to go back to paying it anyway.
Right. Yeah, it's not going away.
Right.
Yeah.
So might as well just knock some down.
You signed it, you pay it. It's 618. Let's get a wake-up song, shall we? 585-9800, and just remember, tonight, 6 o'clock, everywhere, and it's not a bad idea to sit your kids down and sit everybody down and say, hey, this is what's going on in our town. This is what's going on in our state. This is the local version.
If you need John to do it, he'll do it for you.
What, pay your bills?
No, tell the kids.
I'll gladly tell your little kids.
Every one
of your kids is a neighbor kid to me. I have no emotion for them, none. I did that podcast with Pat McAfee, who's brilliant, by the way. What a great dude. And Pat McAfee's podcast is going gangbusters, and he was on with Caliendo's podcast, and I was in on that yesterday. And he doesn't have kids either. And he goes, is anybody else without kids? And I'm like, yeah, I don't have them. And he goes, aren't you tired of everybody telling you how easy this is for you because they hate their own kids and they want to blame you for not having any? I'm like, it seems that way because Scott, this other guy's on the podcast, is like, you guys have it simple. There's nothing about what you're going through. I have to sit with my kids. And I'm like, if you don't like them, get rid of them. Well, no, I would never. Well, then quit bitching about them. They're there. You did this. This is like bitching that your house
is living in the past.
Yeah,
it's done.
Sorry.
They're there.
You made people. That does not make it so my life being better in your eyes is something you can bitch about. Your fault.
But it is.
Yeah, but it is. My life is better than yours right now. I don't have 8 hours of looking at something going, am I killing this thing or the pressure of that? I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I will.
The only thing you have to worry about is dodging them.
Look, I will. I don't even have to worry about that. I have no problem looking your kids square in the eyes going, you are going to shut the up. And your doe eyes, you're not cute to me. In fact, you're weird looking all the way up. You look like an old man with a disease. I told Joel from Stand Up Live yesterday, I was texting back and forth with he and Matt, the owners of Stand Up Live and Tempe Improv, and I'm like, how are you guys holding up? Text me back. And Matt Joel just had a baby. And I'm like, hey, great timing, Joel, bringing another person onto the planet, brother. We were a little light in the population. Thanks for helping out. And he sends me a picture of his daughter. And she's crawling around. She's pretty new. And I'm like, I never say this to somebody with a kid. And then dot, dot, dot. And I'm like, but what does she have? And I left it. And he texts back and he goes, what? I'm like, what's the illness? I mean, I normally wouldn't bring it up, but it's so clear. Because his daughter's absolutely beautiful, by the way.
You're awful, man.
Yeah, because I don't care about your kids at all. I know you love them. It doesn't matter what I see. You can call me a jerk all day. I will tell your kids to off. I want to have a town hall on the children's station and go, hey, kids, time for you to shut the up and listen to mommy and daddy.
Dose of reality from John Holmberg.
How you doing? Guess what? You got an early life lesson on how miserable this whole adventure through Earth can be. This thing sucks for the majority of people. And you're getting a taste of it now. Isn't it great?
That could be a service you could provide for parents that are pusses that can't tell their kids to not go outside.
I'm like, questions, anybody? You, with the guaranteed never going to have a dick bigger than 5 inches.
never mind.
Okay, how about you, the nerd in the back that everybody's being nice to now because in my day you'd have been a nerd and your future would have been destroyed. Anything?
I don't want to talk to that guy.
Four Eyes, you?
I don't like, nobody's supposed to bully me.
All right, I guess we've all off now. It's time to go home and not touch anything. By the way, most of you put your fingers in your butts and you act like you're getting away with it. We know. We all know. Yeah, I'll tell your kids, your miserable little rat kids. Big old boogers all over their hands. Sick. You're not a thing until you're at least 18, and then barely. Give us that wake-up song, 585-9800. A good one. We'll scream it together. It's 98KUPD. Wake up!
If the younger generation doesn't get into rock, then guess what? An art form has died.